Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast. Live from downtown San Francisco, this is 95.7 The Game.
Oh, what is going on, everyone? We are live and local here in Pleasant Hill, live from Friedman's Appliance, the place for just about, Granny, everything that you need. They got live working vignettes, they got fridges, they got laundry, they got a lot of very helpful people, mind you, for all of your needs in and out of your house. So Steiny's going to stop by in just a little bit. He's putzing around looking
for
a new appliance for him. Evan Giddings, Mark Grandy, and I'm just happy to be back out here. We're here every single year. We do this annually, and it's one of the most fun live events that we have been able to be a part of now, and this is what, the second or third time we've been out here?
Yeah. I love doing shows, and I love being on the radio. I would be out here even if I wasn't doing a show with you on the radio.
I'm not going to lie. I almost didn't catch the time we were supposed to come on because I was outside looking at everything that I got going on.
I mean, literally everything you could dream of in terms of an appliance in your home, or, you know, if you're fancy, you know, you get like an outdoor bar or an outdoor grill or something like that. They got that for you here, like in your backyard. Maybe you got a nice patio or a deck and you've got it covered with a canopy or whatever. They got you covered with everything you could possibly dream of. And the best thing about this event is not only do you get to see the appliances and, you know, you can like touch them and turn the knobs and all that, but they are, as you just said, and as you hear Steiny talk about all week leading up to this, live working vignettes. What the hell does that mean? They just have like real kitchens that are using these appliances that they're selling, and they're showing them off by giving you free food in the process.
Yeah, Steiny,
that those kitchens made.
He is a live working vignette walking around this place. Now, before we get to the 49ers, we got Warriors Media Day coming up on Monday. A lot to get to, obviously, from now until 3 o'clock live here at Friedman's Appliance. You and I live together. Do we have a plug-in? Like, if we wanted a laundry or dryer, would we be able to put that in our apartment?
Oh, I don't know if we have plug-ins.
Okay, because I saw one out there that was literally like $700 off, and I'm
not
going to lie.
That's a hell of a deal.
I thought about pulling the trigger.
That's a hell of a deal. If we had plug-ins, we would go have
these. I'm texting our landlord right now if we can find. Again, they got a ton of appliances. Miele, Bosch, Electrolux, LG, Maytag. We saw our guy from Link's Grill outside provide us with some absolutely fabulous ribeye. We got some chocolate chip cookies here that he said there's cherries in them.
Was it bourbon too?
Don't tell me that. That'll be for during the commercial
breaks.
Yeah, that'll be during the commercial breaks. But look, it's good to see you, man. I've been off for a little bit. The last time we had a chance to talk some sports, you and I, was pretty much around the San Francisco 49ers' latest victory. And I feel like a lot has changed in both good and bad ways for the Niners since last weekend. The loss of Nick Bosa, the return of Brock Purdy, which officially became, you know, I think public yesterday, but I don't know about you. I felt like he was always on track to return this week. I just don't think it made sense, didn't make sense to try and bring him back on a short week next week. It was either going to be this weekend or you sit him through the Rams game. But either way you slice it, they're getting one guy back who's a game changer, and of course they're losing one as well.
Yeah, you can't replace Nick Bosa with just one guy. It's going to have to be a number of guys on the defensive side of the ball, and obviously I think a lot of it's going to come down to the offense. The offense just has has to be better, because you can't expect the defense to be as good as they have been through 3 weeks doing it without Nick Bosa. On Brock Purdy, I'm with you. The fact that he was like a question mark last week, not that he was immediately out and we weren't sure if he was going to play or not, the fact that that was even a possibility, that was the reality the Niners were dealing with last week, it always felt to me like he was going to play in this one. It gets a little muddied because now Mac Jones is also dealing with a re-aggravation to that PCL injury that he suffered in the preseason. So if there's some Niners doubters out there, and I know there's a lot of people out there who are unconvinced that the Niners medical staff is maybe best in the league considering all the injuries that they have, maybe a pessimist would think, well, is Brock just playing because Mac can't? But no, I always felt that Brock was going to play in this game because it felt like he had a chance last week, which honestly surprised me. But if that was the reality for last week, then I find it hard to believe that he wouldn't be able to play on Sunday.
And the original report from Ian Rapoport when he got his turf toe after the Seahawks game was 2 to 5 weeks.
He's missed 2 weeks.
Yeah. And, you know, the two to five part to me was
scary.
Well, it's scary, but I think it's just leaving yourself journalistically for some room. Like, I think that they always had targeted this week four Jacksonville as the return week for Purdy, because obviously week 5 is only 4 days away for them. So I think it's so condensed that you really just had to make the choice of, well, is he going to be back for week 4 or will he be back for week 6? And I think, though, the Niners have shown they can obviously win games without him. Whether Mac Jones is 100% less, I still, you know, like their chances, obviously, in most situations with him at quarterback. But to me, this is the kind of game in really 2 week stretch in which I wanted to see the 49ers with Brock Purdy, because I think Jacksonville is much improved. Liam Cohen apparently has extracted a different level of offense from Trevor Lawrence, from this running game, than they have in years past. But then also with the Rams following right after, that's another massive test and cleans up the first half of your NFC division matchups. So to me, this was always a 2 week stretch that I was hoping that Brock Purdy would be back for, because I don't know about you, Granny, for me, it's been difficult to assess, though they're 3-0, just how good this Niners team is, especially because they have another quarterback.
Yeah, and that's been a lot of the talk about this Niner team is, yeah, okay, 3-0, great. You held serve against three teams that you should beat. And while I hear what people are talking about specifically about the Saints, I suppose you could throw the Cardinals in there as well, specifically when you have the Cardinals at home. Like, I get it. The Niners don't have a win over a team like the Bills or the Ravens or the Eagles or the Lions or one of those kinds of teams. But you're telling me that the win in Seattle is not impressive? I mean, Seattle's also, now they're 3-1. They have a road win in Pittsburgh. Like, this is a team that was dominating Arizona for three quarters. I know what happened in the fourth, and it got really ugly. They ultimately hold on, and they win that game. Seattle's a quality team, and you beat them in Seattle week 1 in a game where you lose George Kittle very early, and at some point, Brock Purdy got his toe injury, played the rest of that game. But I think this is a Niner team, you're right, that hasn't been totally tested by a really, really good team. But I disagree with the people who just say, well, you haven't beaten anybody yet. I mean, you've beaten who you're supposed to beat, and you beat a pretty good Seattle team on the road. Now, you were close to losing all three of the games. That's true. But when you consider the injuries that they're dealing with, I don't think this is like a fake 3-0. A lot of people have been talking about, are they real 3-0? Are they a fake 3-0, right? Like, okay, the Bills, that's a real 3-0. They've beaten the Ravens, the Chargers, that's a real 3-0. They've beaten the Chiefs and two other division opponents. I get that. Those are more impressive considering who they've beaten than the Niners, but I don't buy into the idea that the Niners haven't beaten anybody, that they beat who's on their schedule, including a good Seattle team on the road.
No, and I know that they played one extra game, but it was a close game, so it doesn't factor into this category. If you're looking at scoring differential, which is a number that people will throw in the 49ers' face because
only by 10.
They're plus 10.
Yep.
That's the second worst of the 6 undefeateds right now. I think Tampa Bay is the only one that has less, and they're plus 6. But
crazy.
You look at Seattle, they're plus 44, which is the second best scoring differential in the league. So they've had two lopsided victories. I agree. Like, I mean, coming into the year, I thought that Seattle was going to be a good football team. They missed the playoffs last year just because of a tiebreaker.
Yeah.
and they had a top five defense the second half of last season. I also think the fact that the Niners were able to muster, you know, enough offense against that group that now, again, through 4 weeks, looks like a pretty formidable team. To me, that's impressive. And that's, again, why Brock Purdy to me is so important to this equation, because I don't think Mac Jones, God love him, wins that football game.
In Seattle, you're talking about.
I do not think he wins that football game. I think that Brock Purdy is someone that, because he was in that position, because he's willing to take risks, because he is willing to put the ball in harm's way, is also the reason why they were able to win that football game. Combined, of course, with how good this defense has been, I think that's probably been the shining knight for this 49ers team so far, which does scare me a little bit considering Nick Bosa is, you know, effectively the Brock Purdy, the quarterback, the most talented player, I think, on that defense. Warner's the captain, but Nick Bosa is your highest paid defensive player. So, you know, I'm curious to see how the defense looks, but I think the offense, this is where I think they need to really reestablish themselves, especially against a Jacksonville defense that has shown itself to be leaky so far.
Yeah, I mean, Jacksonville, they've been really good against the run, and honestly, they've been... You can get them with via the air, via the pass. They've been really good against the run, but it's kind of strange because this is a Niner offense who, if you ask at any point over the last, like, I mean, really the whole Shanahan era, maybe you take away the Purdy year a couple of years ago when he was an MVP finalist and probably would have won it if it wasn't for a really, really poor Christmas night performance against the Ravens when Lamar outperformed him and therefore won the MVP. This has been a Niner team that always banks on their ability to run the ball. And even that year, when Purdy was so good through the air, they also had McCaffrey, who was unstoppable on the ground. So you could argue still the run game was their bread and butter that year. It hasn't been the case this year. You look at pass attempts, the Niners are up around 35-40 every single game so far this year. Mac Jones in his two starts threw the ball 80 times. 80 times in two games that were close. Like, it's one thing if they get behind by 20 in the first half and they're forced to throw. That's what happened a lot last year. But you're talking about, for the most part, positive or neutral game scripts where you're either winning or it's very close, and you just call whatever you think is going to get you a first down. And they are going pass, 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 pass. It's interesting that that has been the way this Niner offense has worked, because if you asked me coming into the year, even if Brock Purdy was healthy, I would have said they were going to rely on the run game, because generally their offensive line is better on the ground than protecting the pass, protecting the quarterback, and that has not been the case. So I've been pleasantly surprised the Niners are 3-0 despite not being able to run the ball, but I'm also equally concerned because I don't think they can keep winning games like that. They're going to need to run the ball better.
Well, and I think that that's one of the reasons why in a lot of these situations the defense has had to play the role of closer, because your offense has not been able to stay on the field. You think about Seattle. They had a chance offensively, you know, late to put some points up, couldn't do it. You think about Arizona. I think the Saints game, and I know it's Mac Jones at quarterback, but the Saints game is probably the one that stands out to me the most. The inability to run the football meant that you had two possessions in under 5 minutes, and you couldn't score. Now, you didn't allow any points.
Yeah, there was the Nick Bosa sack that forced the Saints punt. Shanahan on the sideline thinking, all right, we can just kill the clock now. They don't get a first down. They got to punt back, and then Huff strip sack to end the game.
Exactly. So, like, your offense has had opportunities to close out games. And that's I think, the difference to me between last year and this year, where the offense couldn't, in some situations last season, specifically the tail half, couldn't close games. Their defense wasn't able to make a play to save them, essentially.
Yeah.
The first three games of this year, it feels like, and it's as much of a tip of the cap to Robert Saleh as I think an improved roster on that side of the ball, but they've made the plays to win games. And so now you think about, what's going on, fellas? You think about not having Nick Bosa. Okay, so that's one of your closers. Robert Saleh described him as being like a Mariano Rivera. Him, Huff,
yeah.
Warner. Okay, you're down one of those guys. So who's going to be the player this upcoming week against Jacksonville if you can't run the football as, you know, in the way you'd like to? If you can't, you know, get your offense, you know, a sizable lead, who's going to be the guy to step up and make a play? You know, that number now dwindles with the loss of 97.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And he was, I think he was talking specifically about when Robert Saleh talked about closers. I think it was specifically Bosa and Huff. Warner's obviously amazing, but he's talking about a guy on a big third down, get to the quarterback and sack him and end the game, which is what happened to win week one and to win week two. You had Bosa week one and then Huff week two to close the game with a big strip sack. So that's a huge part of the Niner defense, because we know what Robert Saleh's tendency is. We know what he likes to do. He likes to rush four and drop seven back into coverage. And Nick Bosa kind of affords you the ability to do that. You don't have Nick Bosa anymore, who's either going to win a one-on-one matchup and get to the quarterback, or who's going to take on a double team and allow Bryce Huff or Mykael Williams or whoever else, Kalia Davis, who's been pretty good on the interior so far this year, to get to the quarterback. So without Nick Bosa, I'm curious if this means Robert Saleh's got to be a little bit more creative and maybe he brings a fifth, a sixth more often than he has in the past, because the Niners have a pretty weak is not the right word, but an untested and vulnerable secondary. And if you're asking that group of young defensive backs to defend a receiver like Brian Thomas Jr. or Travis Hunter whenever he's out there for an extra second and a half.
If he's out there at all.
He's out there at all.
He's in play. It feels like they don't have him on the field.
Then you're asking to get hurt, to get beat over the top, in my opinion. So I think it's on Robert Saleh as much as maybe any individual player to scheme this up a little bit more. He's obviously been amazing. I think his impact has more so been just in the mindset and the tenacity, like what Upton Stout did on Sunday, fighting through the whistle, through the ground, ripping the ball away from Zay Jones after he's basically kind of already completed the catch. That doesn't happen last year. I think that's Robert Saleh's impact. Now I think we need to see Robert Saleh take the extra step, which is scheme this bad boy up and really dominate the opposing play caller in Liam Cohen.
All right, Evan Giddings, Mark Graney, live here at Freedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill. You got to come in today and tomorrow. They have their fall clearance sales event. You can take advantage of factory direct prices, one-of-a-kind opportunities, special pricing on floor models, and convenient financing. Save on new appliances from trusted brands like Miele, Bosch, Electrolux, LG, and Maytag. So visit Freedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill. It's right off the freeway, extremely easy to get to. Even if you're in San Francisco, literally took me 30 minutes to get here. No traffic whatsoever. Pop in today, tomorrow. Their fall clearance sales event today and tomorrow for their best time to save on new appliances for your home. All right, so, you know, kind of with that said, does this feel like it has to be the game, Grandy, where the offense wins you the game? I do feel like there's no doubt they've made plays. They've done it enough. But there hasn't been that one game, even against the Saints, when you're scoring, you know, in the mid-20s,
yeah.
It doesn't feel like there's been a game where the offense has felt like it's in control. Maybe Seattle. That probably would be the game where I think the offense, like time of possession, they had it plus 15 minutes. I think they outgained them by 150 yards. Like that game, it felt like the offense was in control. Your special teams just let you down by missing a couple of kicks. You didn't have enough points on the board, that kind of thing. But it does feel like, and not just because Brock Purdy's back, but because Nick Bosa is now out for the season, I would like to see the offense control a football game. I'm not sure if they can do it on a short week on Thursday against the Rams. I do think that they can do it against a team like Jacksonville.
I think it's, you're right. Like, you score 17 points or 16 points, I don't think you're going to win this football game. Jacksonville isn't an amazing offense. I think, though, they're going to be able to put up an okay amount of points. I would not be shocked if they get into the 20s because the Niners are doing this without Nick Bosa. So the offense has to score more. I don't think we're looking at something that has to feel drastically different, though, because this is a Niner team. You look at a lot of the numbers, they're still outgaining their opponent. And in most of these games, by a pretty wide margin, it's going to be the small things, right? Like in week one, it was special teams that cost you a bunch of points because you missed two field goals, and one of them wasn't on your kicker. It was on the coverage team. It was on the blockers who allowed Seattle to come through and block that kick. But there's 6 points right there. You're talking about maybe scoring 23 instead of scoring 17. That feels a little bit different. And New Orleans, you scored 26. That's a pretty decent amount. You'll take that. But Arizona, you score 16 points. There was a rough interception by Mac Jones. and you also could not get anything done in the red zone. You got all the way down to the one-yard line and came away with 0 points because you went for it on fourth and goal and didn't score. I don't think this is a Niner offense that has to drastically change and what we're doing isn't working. The run game isn't working very well, but largely the offense is still moving the ball pretty well. You get the run game going a little bit better, I think it will open other things up. But I think largely for the offense, you're right, you have to score more. I think it almost comes down to just as simple as being better in the red zone. It's kind of the same story of last year when they could not get it done in the red zone. You have McCaffrey back. He's been inefficient on the ground anywhere on the field, but specifically in the red zone and specifically inside the 10-yard line. They got to find a way to punch it in once they get down there. They haven't really done that at all this year. If they do that this week, they get into the 20s and they probably win this game.
Yeah, I mean, I think if they hold Jacksonville to under 20, that this is a game that they're going to win. You know, the one thing that I think it could determine this game is going to be how well they run the ball and how well Jacksonville runs the ball, because Jacksonville's been much improved on the ground. Meanwhile, the Niners have been seeing, you know, I don't know about you, Granny. I think it's not that Christian McCaffrey is, I think.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
He looks a step slower, but I also think because he's so impactful when they throw the ball, that there's just more of a reason to use him as a receiver, especially with Juwan Jennings being out. He looks less likely to play this week, according to Kyle Shanahan, than someone like Ricky Pearsall, who also did not practice this week. You know, they've had less options through the air. Now, the one boost that they do get is DeMarcus Robinson coming back this week, and I wonder how much that impacts if they're using McCaffrey through the air. But he's their most elusive guy, and it just feels like every time there's a third down, whether it's third and long, third and short, they've done a pretty good job of playing ahead of the sticks and staying on schedule. But I just don't know if running the ball is going to be the option, especially if McCaffrey is such a weapon on third down. You go back to the Seattle game, and it felt like every single time he gets a one-on-one cover, it doesn't matter. It could be a DB. It could be a cornerback, safety. It could be a linebacker. He's going to win that matchup. And so it's not necessarily that I'm worried about him as a running back, but I just feel like he's almost he's more of a threat, to be honest, in the passing game at this point in his career.
He has the fourth most receptions in the NFL, and he's behind someone who's played an extra game in Jackson Smith and Jigba.
How many of those are first downs?
I don't know that off the top of my head. I'd have to dive in.
Right over there.
Oh, right over there. It is. Eight. Eight of his 25 receptions are for first down.
It's a quarter of his catches are for first downs.
And we're talking about most of his catches being at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
So it's him still having the burst and the wiggle to get the first down, or it's also the Niners going to him through the air on third and manageables. But he's fourth in the NFL in receptions, and really third because one of the guys ahead of him has played an extra game. And in receiving yards, we're talking about him being 16th. And there are... there's two guys that are ahead of him that have played an extra game. So by the end of this week, he might move into the top 15 in terms of receiving yards. And that's your running back. I think the Niners would prefer them to be able to get like 4, 5, 6 yards on the ground more consistently. But the reality is a lot of the catches that you're talking about, whether it's not a designed play and it's just a dump off because Pearsall and whoever else is covered, there are times where they design it for the pass to go to McCaffrey, but a lot of those are just extensions of the run game. It's a quick swing out to McCaffrey on the right flat, and he runs for 6 yards. That is part, really, of the Niners' run game. So I don't think the run game has been quite as bad as the numbers would suggest. They're the only team in the NFL without a rushing touchdown this season, which is absurd given what this team has been in years past and given how efficient McCaffrey has been in the red zone. But they are finding ways to get those chunks via McCaffrey that they would get on the ground. They just happen to be doing it through the air on those dump-offs to either flat or maybe a quick route over the middle part of the field. But I think they would like to be able to just have their quarterback turn and hand it off and pick up 6 yards instead of two.
No, yeah, of course. And I think it's kind of weird that in the past, their offensive lines have typically been really good, as you mentioned, at running the football,
yeah.
Less so against the pass or the like keeping their quarterback upright.
Yeah.
This year, it feels like through three games,
it's the opposite.
They have not been very good at running the ball or creating lanes. But weirdly, especially because with Mac Jones, who's kind of a statue, like they've kept him upright. And they've done a really good job in pass protection, whether it's been guys filling in with the likes of Ben Bartsch going down. Colby, obviously, behind him's gotten hurt. But, like,
he's questionable.
They've done
tomorrow.
A pretty
we'll
good job at patchworking this O-line and keeping their quarterbacks upright.
Yeah, no, they have been. There's been a couple of high-profile mistakes. Pooney, the hold, I don't know if you believe it was a hold or not. It seemed kind of ticky-tack, and if it was, it probably wasn't in the end zone, but called for a hold in the end zone against the Cardinals, which results in a safety. Thought like that was going to cost the Niners that game. It ultimately didn't. So there's been some high-profile mistakes, but when you have an offensive line that has, at left guard, they're starting a seventh-round rookie, and at the right guard, they're starting a second-year player who's already been banged up this year, and he was very good last year, but is, I still think, you know, adjusting to life in the NFL. You have a center that Shanahan loves that everybody else feels so-so about, and maybe the same for the right tackle, and you got a 37-year-old at left tackle who's already kind of limped off the field a couple of times as well. Despite all of that, like I could argue you've got an issue at every single offensive line position. Despite that, they have been pretty good at protecting their quarterback. And the fact that Mac Jones, who isn't very mobile, especially in the second half against Arizona when he was hobbling all over the place, hasn't had to run for his life more often on his 80 dropbacks through his two starts, yeah, pretty impressive. And I got to give it up to the offensive line specifically for their pass blocking. The run blocking hasn't been good.
No, and I don't know if it's because of the offensive line. I don't know if it's because maybe of the lack of, you know, presence like Juwan Jennings, who's really good again in the run game as a yeah. wide receiver. The lack of George Kittle, who obviously provides such a massive boost to the run game. But what do you give me for this?
Okay.
So you know how Deebo Samuel was a wide receiver who evolved effectively into a running back.
Uh-huh.
What if Christian McCaffrey is a running back evolving into a wide receiver? And that's kind of how his career is aging. Now, I think he's clearly proven himself to be more impactful in either role than Deebo was in his last season with the Niners. But because Samuel wasn't able to create as much separation as he did early in his career, wasn't as elusive, wasn't as quick, was a little heavier. I feel like Deebo was not effectively a running back, but that was his best role. Christian McCaffrey is someone that, again, I don't know if it's because of the blocking or maybe he's a year older, the injuries have taken their toll on him, but it just feels like, Grandy, he's already, it's only been three games, but he is more impactful as a wide receiver than he is as a running back.
You're absolutely right. Through three games, he has been. I would say part of the reason, at least the majority of the reason why he hasn't been effective on the ground isn't because of him. I think it's because of the offensive line. I also think it's because defenses have a say in this. And if you're Arizona, or if you're New Orleans, or hell, even if you're Seattle, Seattle probably has the ability to play it a little bit more straight up because that's just a really good defense in general. But say you're Arizona, you're Jonathan Gannon preparing for this Niner offense without George Kittle, without Brock Purdy, and also happen to be without Juwan Jennings. What are you going to do? I'm going to stack the box, and I'm going to dare you to throw to anybody other than Ricky Pearsall. I'm going to cover Ricky with my best guy. Ricky was good enough and still beat Arizona pretty consistently. He's third in the NFL in receiving yards, up near 300 through three games, averaging nearly 100 per game. And I'm going to dare you to beat us with Christian McCaffrey on the ground. And the Niners said, okay, we see you. We're just not going to run the ball. Five rushing attempts in the first half. So I think some of it is related to injury to your receivers, causing the defense to really focus on one part of the Niners' offense. And then some of it is the offensive line struggling with a stacked box. So I hear you, and you're absolutely right. McCaffrey has been more effective as a pass catcher. It hasn't been close, but I don't think it's because his skill set is necessarily diminishing as a runner.
We'll see. I mean, I just feel like, look, in 2023, they faced a lot of stacked boxes as well. Like, that was the guy you were trying to stop. Every single one, and I know they had a much better team, but the offensive line was not that much better. They had more options. They had more weapons. But it wasn't as if he didn't stare across the other side and see eight guys in the box in 2023 when he led the league in rushing. Not to say he isn't still damn good.
And as a result, Purdy was an MVP finalist.
Exactly. But it just feels like to me that the way that they've at least shown us to use McCaffrey so far, and it's not a knock on him. In fact, he's one of the biggest reasons offensively why they're 3-0.
Yep.
But it just feels like to me, you know, maybe more as a wide receiver. I'll run this by Steiny in a bit. I'm sure he'll be on my side. All right. Tomorrow, all right, we're going back to Laughing Monk Brewing in Sunnyvale for the kickoff show. We got great food, great drinks. The first week was awesome. Had way more of a setup than I thought. They had a cornhole, football toss. You can go inside, grab pops, bring them out, bring the family, and also a shuttle to and from the game that is free to the stadium. Tomorrow, Laughing Monk in Sunnyvale, and that's going to be a 1235 Oak Mead in Sunnyvale. Laughing Monk Brewing. They got a free shuttle to and from the stadium. The first one sold out. A lot of great people there, and they've arranged two buses. That's right. So park at Laughing Monk for free. Join the party, then take the shuttle back and forth to the game. All you have to do is sign up and reserve a spot, but do it now because space is limited. It's filling up quickly. You go to 957thegame.com, click on the kickoff show graphic, and then click on the Eventbrite link to sign up. I'll be there. Lorenzo Neal will be there. I haven't heard Locus Alexander's going to be there. Not that anybody cares, but everyone will be out there tomorrow. Danae, we got Kalia, our entire promo staff made it a great vibe for the first time. And
game broadcast. Plus, we'll have tailgate games, prizes, great food and drink specials. For more information, visit 957thegame.com. Now back to 95.7 The Game.
All right, what's going on, everyone? Evan Giddings, Mark Randy, live here at Freedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill. We are live for today, beginning the fall clearance sales event. It also goes on tomorrow, so get on down to Pleasant Hill. Come to Freedman's Appliance. It's right off the freeway. They got a massive amount of sales. They got a massive amount of people here to help you with whatever you need, your kitchen, your laundry room, your kitchen. Gosh, they got so much stuff. It's kind of unreal.
Anything you could think of.
Anything you can think of. They also got a lot of hors d'oeuvres set out, just had some caprese. We had our boy from Lynx Grill bring us some ribeye earlier. That was fantastic. I know Steiny is sniffing around somewhere in the back, probably looking for a libation or two, and we hope that he brings one over at some point.
They're selling, like, if you want to have your own beer on tap in your bar or your kitchen, you can do that. They have that. It is flowing here at Freedman's.
Now, I do know that one of our good friends, Ken Luttrell, his setup in his backyard,
yep,
he does have his own tap. I know for a fact that he came to Freedman's Appliance. I'm not sure if it was for that specifically, but he himself has bought stuff from Freedman's Appliance. A lot of people at 95.7 The Game have come to Freedman's Appliance. And not just on this weekend, but obviously this is the chance to sort of capitalize.
Yep.
And the moment you roll through, you're going to see a lot of friendly faces, lots of smiles.
And before you see anything, you will smell it. Because they got all the barbecues going on outside.
Yeah, it's kind of a medley at this point. there was like an oven-roasted pizza. There's barbecue chicken out there. Our guy with the
chicken
ribeye,
wings.
Chicken wings.
Yep.
They had over here inside, if you just walk right in, we were talking about the bourbon cookie, but then they've just put out some baked shrimp.
Oof.
It's just this, I don't know, I don't know if it's that aioli or chipotle sauce. Anyways, it's utterly fantastic. We're talking about the San Francisco 49ers, though. We are going to get into some of the Warriors stuff with Steiny coming up in 1 o'clock, so he's going to hop on live and do a segment with us here. He, of course, is already out here at Freedman's Appliance, so if you come by, say hello to us, stop by. We're right inside the door. Steiny is around here somewhere as well. He's going to join us at 1. But One thing I did want to ask you, Granny, is this week it felt like a large portion of the conversation revolved on, all right, how for real this team is. Is that an exercise that at 3-0 you're even doing yet? Because there's six unbeaten teams, and the Niners are certainly a team that has, you know, been tested by one, tested by, no, not tested by two, you could say. Are you even doing that exercise at this point?
No, I'm not, honestly. And I've had, you know, people come up to me and say something along the lines of, well, I mean, yeah, the Niners are 3-0, but like, you're kidding yourself if you think they can compete with the Ravens, who are 1-2, by the way, or the Bills,
who, by the way, could be 1-3. Yeah, they might play the Chiefs.
One of those teams will be 1-3 when that game concludes tomorrow. But you can't possibly think the Niners can compete with the Bills or the Lions or the Eagles or hell, maybe even the Packers and the Ravens, maybe even the Chiefs, who are 1-2, as you mentioned as well. And I'm not saying the Niners are one of the three or four best teams in the NFL. To answer your question, no, I don't really think about that, at least not a team in the position of the 49ers. The way I view it is the 49ers, even if they were fully healthy, I wouldn't think that this is a stretch of the schedule that would really prove that much to me. They're fully healthy with Brock Purdy, and even if they had, say, beat the Saints by 15 and beaten the Cardinals by 14, I wouldn't be thinking, well, this is a team that can win the Super Bowl. Like, that's not how I view just this stretch of the schedule, regardless of how healthy the 49ers are. They weren't healthy. Down their starting quarterback for two of those games. Down their all-pro tight end for essentially all three of those games. Down Juwan Jennings for a game, and now maybe a second game, and he was also in and out of both of those games that he did play in. So it becomes more impressive to me, but my mind stops far, far before I get to, well, are they Super Bowl contenders? The way I view it is they held serve, and they did it at a disadvantage because they were down a number of key guys. They're 3-0, two division wins, up top their division. They are in very good position to just make the playoffs, and who knows what this team is like 10 weeks from now when maybe Mykael Williams transforms before our very eyes and becomes one of the better players on this defense. You get Malik Mustafa back, and maybe the secondary feels a little different. Renardo Green continues to develop. Like, I am thinking so just week at a time that I don't even have any space in my head to think about, well, is this team really on par with the Lions? That's not on my mind given who I thought this team was coming into the year.
No, I'm not going there yet as far as where they stack among the elite, because I don't think they belong in that conversation from either what we've seen or what we believe. But I do think it's fair to ask, do you think this team can win the division? I don't know how.
Yeah,
I think they can. But I don't know how you thought about them coming into the year. But to me, the conversation becomes more now, well, do you think that they're on par with the Rams? Like, they can win the division because they only have to play the Rams twice. Yep. They'll do it on a short week next Thursday.
Yep.
But they are playing a significantly different schedule. In a way, it sort of sets up for, I think that this team can win the division, and I'm still not sure I'll believe they're better than Los Angeles.
Yeah. I mean, I see what you're saying, because the Rams have a more difficult schedule, and that played out last week, right? Rams go into Philadelphia. Niners got to, I think the difference is Niners play a team like Jacksonville, and the Rams play a team like the Eagles. That's one of the differences in this schedule. So the 49ers do have that advantage, and the Rams, because they lost that game, gave the Niners that leg up. So, yeah, that is part of it. I do think the 49ers have every right to win this division. I hear what you're saying. Maybe the Rams are overall a better team currently. I wouldn't necessarily argue with you there. They've beaten, you know, a couple of, I don't know, all right teams. The Texans are 0-3. I don't think they are one of the worst teams in football, and the Rams won that game. They beat the Titans. Titans aren't anything amazing with a rookie quarterback making his second career start at the time when the Rams beat them, and they went toe-to-toe, probably should have beaten the defending champion Eagles in Philadelphia. That's a, I don't know, quote-unquote, more impressive.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Start, I guess, if you want to consider opponent, than the 49ers. But the reality is, this NFL season and who wins divisions and who goes to the playoffs isn't based on, like, the college football idea of standings go out the wazoo, and it's all about expectations and how pretty your wins were or how close your losses were. It's just, did you get the win? Yes, check that off. Okay, move on. You're top of your division. Even if you win each of your games by one, your opponent wins all their games by 20, but they lost one game by one. Like, you win, they didn't, you're ahead. That's how I view it.
Yeah, but I think we have that conversation every year about teams that are, I don't want to say, like, fraudulent. And we're not, I don't think we're there yet with the Niners. I don't think we know enough about this team.
Like Minnesota last year, for example.
Yeah, Minnesota last year. Minnesota from, what was it, 2022, when they went 13-3 with Kirk Cousins and lost in the first round to Daniel Jones, who oddly enough looks pretty damn good with Indianapolis.
He does. MVP candidate right now.
Yeah, so like there are those teams every year that you want to play when you get to the playoffs. And I don't think that – I think it's going to be hard to figure out if the Niners are one of those teams just because of how many injuries they've had. But that's, to me, why you have to approach it week to week, because their schedule is never going to allow them, to your point, to dominate the power rankings. They're never, each and every week, I think, unless, of course, they, I don't know, got, you know, go 10-0 or something, no one is going to sit up there as, you know, a talking head or even on our station sometimes and say, well, the Niners are a top three or top five team, like we've accustomed to seeing them when they've made their runs deep in the playoffs. I think they can win a playoff game if they get there, but the point, I think the point of this season for me with Grandy was, can they get back to the postseason, and can they prove, more importantly, that last year was a blip on the radar, much in the way that 2020 was. And I think it's going to be significantly more difficult to prove now that Nick Bosa is out, and I think this defense is going to take a step back as a result of his absence. But if they can still somehow make the postseason, if they can continue to stack wins and win these football games, even if it's in the fashion that they have, it's just so much about this year, Grady, that for me is not even about how good they can be. It's really just about resetting things and figuring out if this franchise is moving in a positive or negative direction. And so far, I have nothing to believe that they're not going up.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, injuries are one thing, and we could have conspiracy theory conversation if you want about why that is the case. I think the majority of the reason is probably just bad luck, as much as that, you know, might frustrate Niner fans. I don't really know exactly what else to point to. I've heard some talk about how, you know, Niners' medical staff isn't very good, so they should hold Brock Purdy out because maybe they're not identifying what really might be wrong with his toe, and he's going to injure it further, and he's going to be out for the year. Like, I don't buy into that talk. You know, are they going too hard in practices? That could be a conversation. Are they too aggressive in their preseason and training camp practices and two-a-days and all that? Yeah, maybe. And that should be something that they dive into and take a look at. Other than that, I can't find the negative about the way that this season has gone. Now, that does not mean that they're going to win a Super Bowl or even going to win the division, but early returns on the draft class look pretty darn good to me. Mykael Williams, the 11th overall pick, hasn't been a game wrecker, but has been a positive influence when he's been out there. And I think game one, game two, game three, you've seen him get better in all of those instances. Marquise Siegel, as a starting safety, as a rookie, hasn't been amazing, but I don't think he's been so bad that you feel like you can't win with him in the future. Upton Stout gave your team a chance to win that football game on Sunday against Arizona with his play against a veteran receiver in Zay Jones. So I'm with you. There has been a lot of positive developments. I think in relation to that, I would ask you this. the way you feel about Niners versus Rams right now, I would imagine you lean Rams, better football team in this instance, right, in this moment?
And to be honest, the only reason I wouldn't lean Seahawks over Niners is because they beat them.
In Seattle.
Yeah, like, but the Seahawks' first three games, if you're going to play the power rankings game, to me has been more impressive.
But, yeah, Niners have the head-to-head win.
Exactly.
In Seattle,
yeah.
On the road. But I think when we compare specifically the Rams to the Niners, there is a ton more room for growth from the Niners' perspective than the Rams. Like, we're giving the Niners current day, as we currently stand, how do they look, what's going to happen when they play on Thursday. And it's in L.A. on a short week. Maybe the Rams win that football game. All right, totally fair. It's going to be a really close, the spread's going to be really close, maybe Rams by a point and a half, two points. I'm not sure exactly. I think with Brock Purdy back, assuming he gets through this week healthy, I would think it would be pretty close. Maybe Rams by 2.5, 3 points. I think it would be relatively close.
In L.A.?
In L.A. Yeah, wow. I think so. But I'm saying, I think, as the season moves along, which team do you feel like has more room to grow and become better than what they currently are? The Rams have some young pieces, specifically on defense, but this is kind of what the Rams went through last year. Beginning of the year, no one was really sure exactly what that Rams team was. And then they made a great pick in Jared Verse out of Florida State, and he became the defensive rookie of the year and helped propel that defense, who was missing Aaron Donald for the first time in a really long time, to become, you know, okay again. And then they were the team that gave the Eagles, who dominated the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, the Eagles' biggest test in the postseason was this Rams team last year. The way we felt about the Rams beginning of last year versus how we felt about them in the postseason was entirely different. Not saying it's going to follow that same kind of script for the Niners, but of those two teams, as we try to figure out where they are now and where they might be, the Niners, in my opinion, have by far the more room for growth, say 10, 12 weeks from now.
I mean, that's because I think they also have far more unproven talent.
Yeah, that's the point.
But
it might not work out that way.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
Yes.
I mean, sure, that's very, you know, glass half full. I mean, to me, though, that's not really the point. Like, in a way, I'm going to look at them as being a better team just because of what I believe they are, as opposed to what the Niners. Like, it's just going to be difficult for me to, I think, for a lot of the Niners pieces to take those steps. But I think that something like on defense, you know, ironically, that was the group that hadn't been hit by injury through the first 3 weeks up until Bosa. But like, I think it's not a coincidence to me that they were the better group, the better side of the ball, because you're looking around at the offense and guys are just dropping like flies. Also building the fact that, of course, you didn't have your number one wide receiver even coming into the season and are probably not going to see him at least until week six, and perhaps even after that, of course, being Brandon Ayuk.
Shanahan earlier this week made it seem like, and I think also John Lynch made it seem like it's not close. It might be more like week 9 or week 10 when we see Ayuk come back.
And to be honest, I really didn't know how it was going to be week 6. I just felt like that was an optimistic view of an injury. Look, when you wreck multiple parts in your knee,
I mean,
an ACL tears a full year anyways, which would have put him at week 6. But then you factor in the MCL and all the different stuff, and it's like, plus, you also need him to be good. It's not like he just is getting on the field. So, like, if you're getting anything from Brandon Ayuk this season, to me, that's sort of gravy at this point. Now, the one positive for them has been, I don't necessarily, now, they do miss him on the field, but they haven't missed his production because of how damn good Ricky Pearsall's been. And we're going to talk to him about 12 minutes, something that someone sent me. What did Stein say yesterday? He said Ricky Pearsall's better than Brandon Ayuk.
He said that, yeah.
Now, he might be on a better track than Brandon Ayuk, but I do think
we're talking about an all-pro receiver,
you
Brandon
Ayuk. You can't throw out 1,300 yards and 7 touchdowns. I mean, that's just – now, I think that at this stages in their careers, Pearsall is further ahead of Ayuk from where he was his rookie season.
It's also probably –
or second season.
Also probably, like, because based on necessity, right? Like, Ayuk's second year, you had a stacked offense that had Deebo Samuel and George Kittle and all that.
That was 2021 or 22?
Ayuk's rookie year was the COVID year.
So 2021
was Ayuk's second year.
And I'm pretty sure at this point, in his second season, he was in the doghouse still, was he not? Wasn't that the season where Kyle Shanahan was
pretty sure
not very happy with
Brandon? He had multiple stints in the doghouse. His second year, he had 826 yards and 5 touchdowns.
Yeah, so I think Ricky Pearsall
is on pace for like 1,400 if he plays all the games.
Has a chance certainly to eclipse that. I do think it's going to change a bit when Robinson comes back, because unlike, you know, God love, Jennings wasn't there a ton during preseason just because of his pseudo-calf injury. And then you also look at the guys that were unavailable that are now on the team. Like Kendrick Bourne was not there. I just feel like Robinson might take a little bit of the share from Pearsall. But you're right that I think some of the production for Ricky, and it's a credit to him because he's been ready for that workload, yep. It's also been a result of the lack of options around him.
Yeah, now just not having options doesn't mean somebody is going to be, you know, a 1,300-yard receiver. Like, you have to be pretty good, and it's also what we were talking about earlier when we were discussing McCaffrey's lack of success on the ground. I think a big part of it is because, one, the Niners don't have a lot of threats through the air, and the one main threat currently, especially, say, last week when Juwan wasn't in and DeMarcus Robinson was still serving that three-game suspension, really the only threat beyond the line of scrimmage, and maybe, like, 10 yards down the field or more, the only real threat the Cardinals had to pay attention to was Ricky Pearsall. Like, honestly, that might be about it, because who else are they throwing to? Not really anybody beyond, like, 10 yards down the field. And what did he end up doing? Facing number one coverage every single route that he ran, targeted 11 times, caught 8 of those passes for 117 yards, including one of the clutchest 4th-and-2 34-yard catches that I can remember. So credit to Ricky Pearsall for doing that when you're going up against the toughest defense that he's probably ever faced. I mean, we're talking about a guy who was at Arizona State with Brandon Ayuk for a short time and then at Florida, and you know they got dudes running around all over the place on that offense, maybe not as much as in years past, but now you fast forward to his second year in the league, and really kind of his first year in the league because he hardly played as a rookie. He's immediately being the guy that defenses are keying on in the passing game, and he's able to do that. So on one hand, it is necessity. You got nobody else out there. Go do your thing, Ricky. But on the other hand, it's the defense knows that, and you're going to have to beat their best coverage corner, and he did that pretty consistently.
See, that's why, and I'll run this by Steiny and get his thoughts on it. I'm not sure how he felt about, you know, Ricky versus Brandon, but to me, that's why I do give more credit to Pearsall. I think that the defense that they've played, specifically Seattle, which he had over 100 yards yep. against, and Arizona, who he had over 100 yards against, those are two better defenses than the Saints.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
I mean, I think the Cardinals were down at least one of their top corners, but they're a better defense, certainly, than New Orleans. I do give him more credit for that. Well, I don't know if it's fair to say that Ricky Pearsall is better than Brandon Ayuk, because his knee is completely shattered at this point and is working his way back from a catastrophic injury. I do think it's fair to say that Ricky Pearsall is on a better track than Brandon Ayuk. But at this stage in his career, I also think it's interesting that, I don't know how you feel when you watch him play, maybe it's just because of how they kind of use him, and if it's out of necessity, I'm not sure, but he does kind of feel like a Brandon Ayuk with a lot of the routes that he runs, a lot of the catches that he makes. I know people always, a couple of years ago, would say Brock Purdy can't throw deep, you know, the Niners don't air the ball out, but Brandon Ayuk was their deep threat, and while he doesn't have blazing speed, and neither does Ricky Pearsall, it's interesting to me that he's the guy who's taking most of the downfield catches outside of course, the Juwan Jennings 40-yard touchdown.
Yeah, neither of them are the guys that physically will dominate just in terms of strength or quickness or just straight-line speed and running past the defender, running past a corner and getting past the safety before he can come over for help. Or it's just being physical like an A.J. Brown and high-pointing a ball amidst a double team like Ayuk nor Ricky Pearsall or that. I think where they are elite, and it's where they make their money and why they've been good when they've both been healthy. I'm talking about Ayuk and Pearsall. It's great route runners. They have great feet. And as opposed to straight line speed and just blazing past people, like, say, Jamar Chase can do that, and a Justin Jefferson can do that. They can just run past defenders, and they're obviously great all around. But I think where Ricky and Ayuk are very, very good, it's the quick, short area quickness, right? Whether it's getting in and out of a cut, or it is making a cut and really cutting hard one way, but then rapidly cutting the other way and leaving a defensive back, or maybe it was a linebacker who was checking him in the dust. That's where they are really good. And to Mac Jones's credit, and Purdy is also very good at this, you give those guys, you know, within 20 yards of the line of scrimmage, you give them a yard of space, your receiver creates a yard of separation from whoever's guarding them, they're gonna put the ball in there. They've both been very good at that. So I think it's also a good connection, a good relationship, those kinds of receivers and what Purdy is and even what Mac is, the anticipation, the timing, and you don't need to be 5 yards free in order for those guys to hit you 20 yards down the field, specifically over the middle part of the field where they are both very, very good. So I think also that their skill sets fit well with what Shanahan likes out of his quarterbacks, and he has two guys that do very, very, very much what he likes.
All right, here's what we got going on today. That's Mark Grandy. I'm Evan Giddings. Make sure to come in to Freeman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today and tomorrow for their fall clearance sales events. They got factory direct prices, one-of-a-kind opportunities, special pricing on floor models and convenient financing, save on new appliances from trusted brands like Miele, Bosch, Electrolux, LG, and Maytag. So visit Freeman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill right off the freeway for their fall clearance sales event today and tomorrow for the best time to save on new appliances for your home. Right here inside of Freeman's Appliance, coming up next, Matt Steinmetz is going to join us, or sometime in the next hour he's going to join us.
He's walking around somewhere.
Yeah, we're here from now until 3-hour live show. If you're topping on by, if you're in your car, stop by, say hello. You can't miss us right when you walk through the door. And of course, you go through an aroma of amazing foods. You walk inside, get yourself set up with something nice, and say what's up to us. Also, we're going back tomorrow to Laughing Monk Brewing in Sunnyvale for the kickoff show. We got great food, great drinks, great games in the parking lot, and also a free shuttle back and forth to the stadium. We start at 10 o'clock, so a 3-hour pregame show. Evan Giddings, that's myself, along with Lorenzo Neal, and all the early games will be on for you to watch. If you're going to the game, we got a free shuttle to and from the stadium, but you have to sign up for it and reserve a spot. Do it now, because it's filling up fast and it's going to go. We got two buses. Your place could be there. Go to 957thegame.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.